Time now to talk some football, and we do that with Phil Moss. Hello, Mossy.
Good morning, guys. How are you going?
How are you, Phil?
Well, did you hear the Craig Foster interview?
I didn't. I'm down in Canberra, Jimmy. My apologies, I didn't. But I will say, as a former teammate of Fozzie, I have to say how proud I am of him for the wonderful work he did in that campaign, and just his ability to manoeuvre, politics between three countries and bring FIFA into it as well was outstanding.
Yep. You do yourself a favour, Mossy. Listen to the podcast. He says some very forthright, honest things. But you can see why people want him running the game here.
Mm.
Yeah. Look, he's certainly got a fantastic brain and way about him, and he knows football inside and out. So, I don't think it's a matter of if. I think it's more a matter of when Fozzie will be involved in running the game at one of the elite levels.
Sam Kerr doesn't win. I don't know. Everyone's a little shocked at that. Well done, Sydney FC.
Yeah, that's right. It was the Builders, Caitlin Ford up against Sam Kerr, and to be honest, both of them had reasonably quiet afternoons. Kerr scored from the penalty spot. Caitlin Ford was quiet by her standards, but she did a lot of work off the ball and drew defenders to her, which freed up players around her, which sometimes goes sight unseen, especially on the TV. But, a wonderful performance by Sydney FC, fully deserved champions, their third title. Ante Juric has done a wonderful job putting together a squad that plays a fantastic brand of football. And I have to say, the quality of the goals yesterday, Sophia Herter in particular, the first goal, and also Chloe Legazzo, who scored an absolute bomb, and Savannah McCaskill, who we know scored two, but her second one from the head.
The header was amazing.
Caitlin Ford cross put it on a dime for her, but she spotted the keeper off the line and got it on target. Wonderful quality for a grand final. It was played, unfortunately, on a substandard pitch.
More about that. Hey, just on women's football, Mossy, what's latest with Alan Stachic?
Well, there's no real latest, Ray, apart from some calls from some pretty high places. Our own Robbie Slater and Alan Jones during the week calling for reinstatement. Mm-hmm. And obviously independent inquiries into how the decision was arrived at. So there is pressure building for something to give. There's no doubt about that. But Alan's holding up pretty well. He was in the house yesterday for the W League Grand Final at the invitation of Sydney FC. He's a Hall of Famer for Sydney FC, so it was great to see him, his wife Brenda, and girls, out and about at the showpiece event.
All right, let's talk some A League, mate. Some of these results, it's really interesting, isn't it? The Wanderers 3-1 over Adelaide United. Glory, no surprise there, the big win. But the Newcastle Jets pumping Melbourne City.
Well, you could say a second-string Newcastle Jets as well, and that's with all due respect to the players that took the field for Newcastle, but they've got a very, very heavy schedule. They played Persija Jakarta in that ACL qualifier during the week. That went to 120 minutes, and they flew out straight after the game, I think the next morning, to Japan to take on Kashima Antlers for a spot in the main draw. So Ernie Merrick tinkered big time with his lineup, but they came up trumps, and you can only say that Melbourne City would have gone home licking their wounds, because that's a fantastic opportunity gone missing for them, and Warren Joyce will be no doubt chewing a wasp on the way back to Melbourne.
Hey, Mossy, the Wanderers are finding a bit of form, and Sydney FC really need to win this afternoon.
Yeah, that's right, Ray. Look, I think Western Sydney are finally listening to the message of their coach, Marcus Bubble. He keeps saying you need to stand up if you want to remain at the club. It looks as though he's got the full support of Paul Lederer and the board to stay. So he's going to be rebuilding a squad. And some players really stood up. Rolly Bonavarsia, I think, was one who really caught the eye, scored a goal and laid on an assist. Had a late chance to score a second for his side. But, overall, it was a good performance by Western Sydney. They were clinical, if nothing else, in front of goals. Took their three chances well. Big opportunity missed for Adelaide, in similar fashion to Melbourne City, missing their chance to go 3 points further ahead. But, Sydney, 3 points today against the Mariners, and it's a banana skin that they will know they have to avoid. after slipping over in Brisbane last week. But certainly they can go second on the table and just keep that heat on Perth Glory. But Perth just seem to be flying at the moment. They were absolutely exceptional in the way they created and scored their goals against Brisbane last night.
Mm. Well, if they don't win today, it should be an inquiry. No, I'm serious.
It's an inquiry of Don Jim.
Exactly, it is, yeah.
Just on the Wanderers too, we spoke to Mitch Duke during the course of the week and he said, yeah, we think we can still make the six.
They can. Yeah.
Look, Dukey, who I've worked with up at the Mariners, he's a very positive person.
Sounds
like. The glass is always half full, but I beg to differ on that one, mate.
Okay.
12 right. points behind.
But things went their way. Things went their way this week.
Oh, look, you can never say never, but I beg to differ. I don't see, with eight games remaining, I can't see, and this is the thing, they have to win all their games, but there also has to be a monumental slip-up from one of those teams in the top six, and I just can't see it. Although Adelaide and Melbourne City were poor this weekend, I can't see them slipping up that badly to miss the top six.
All right, so what are you prepared to do if Mitchell Duke and the Western Sydney Wanderers make the semi-finals? Come on, Moss.
He's looking for another carton of beer.
No.
What am I prepared to do? What do you want to put on it, Jimmy?
I want you to turn up the Western Sydney Wanderers a training session in a Wanderers shirt.
Mate, I can't do that. I'm impartial.
That's a cop-out.
I will personally get Mitch Duke on the Sunday morning program. And I will apologise to him on air.
There you go. That's fair.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, we'll accept that.
Yeah, fair enough.
You happy with that?
Yeah, I'm accepting of that.
You should see the smile on Jimmy's face here, Moss.
I can feel him writing it down.
Yeah, actually, he's writing it down in his little book. What is written in that book, by the way? It's extraordinary. Hey, Mossy. I know. No Premier League overnight, but a lot of FA Cup action.
Yeah, there was. Manchester City avoided a banana skin against Newport County. Phil Foden got a couple of goals there. Matt Ryan was rested, didn't take any part in Brighton's 2-1 win over Derby. So those two teams qualify for the quarterfinals. And your boys, Jimmy, they're off to Chelsea to take them on tomorrow morning, I believe. Some big news building around Manchester United, by the way, about the potential sale of the club. Here's some figures that are going to blow your mind. $6.8 billion, that's not really surprising, from Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. He's a number that'll blow you away. He's only 33 years of age, but he's part of the Saudi royal family, and they are worth $850 billion. The Glazer family bought Manchester United for £790 million 14 years ago, and they stand to make a profit of a tidy £2.2 billion if they sell it.
Wow.
That's called good business. Would that be the most expensive?
Big money.
There's always talk around which is the most expensive sports franchise in the world, and there's three names that always come up. Manchester United, the New York Yankees, and the Dallas Cowboys. But that price would see them rocket to number one. I would have thought.
Without doubt. And you know one of the reasons that's been put forward publicly over there is that they would like to rival Manchester City, who are owned by Sheikh Mansour of the Abu Dhabi royal family. So it's a little bit of a, and I say this with all due respect, but a little bit of a plaything between royal families.
Of course it is. It'll allow Ole Gunnar Solskjaer to go to the market in the transfer period if he is named as the full-time coach.
But guess what else, just quickly, Jimmy?
Yes?
Sir Alex Ferguson's making his comeback to management. Heard it here first on Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. He is going to coach. He's going to be the guest coach for Manchester United against Bayern Munich on May 26th for a 1999 treble tribute game.
Oh, wow.
Between Manchester United and Bayern Munich, and it raises money for the Manchester United Foundation.
Is Bozza going? Was he in that? He was in that squad.
1999,
yes.
1999, he was. Yeah,
we'll have to ask him.
Yeah, they should get. I know how highly regarded he is by Sir Alex. Didn't in his book he said Mark Bosnich, we went away on a trip and he tried to eat the menu.
No comment, given I work with Bozza, exactly. As you do, Jimmy. We have to be very, very careful what we say about this man.
Nah, he's a champ.
Nice bloke.
Any other draws you want to tip following Chelsea and Man City last week?
It had
week?
To come, Mossy.
What about Sydney FC against Central Coast? Go on, tip a draw there.
No draw there. I think Sydney FC will have learnt their lesson against Brisbane and they'll get the job done.
And give us a score then, a correct score?
4-0.
4-0. Okay, thanks for that. I've just written down...
And Gucci will score his first goal for Sydney FC.
Nice. We look forward to that. Just writing down in my book, Phil Moss apologise on air to Mitchell Duke, Wanderers playoffs. Okay. All right. Good stuff, Mossy.
Good on you, boys.